More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, stick to it. Having a hard time achieving your goals? Struggling to help someone else stay on track? We're going to help you regain your focus and win the day. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Stick to It, as we take a look at achieving our goals in spite of the obstacles and difficulties we face. Are you feeling stuck dealing with some problem in your life or relationships? Maybe you're not sure what your goal should be in those situations, much less how to achieve it. If you're feeling like nothing ever will change, or you're tired of bumping up your head against those same problems over and over again, or for that matter, if you're having a hard time helping someone you care about make a change in their life, be not afraid. On this feast of St. John Paul the Great, we're going to help you achieve those goals and receive the changes that God wants to make in your life. You know, there's a terrific quote from St. John Paul I want to kick off the show with, just in light of this topic. He said, "I plead with you, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid." That's St. John Paul the Great on his feast day today.
And I take such hope in those words whenever I am reminded of them in any way, shape, or form, because this was not a guy who had an easy life, right? He lost his mother at a young age, lost sibling at a fairly young age, had to go underground to become a priest, dealt with the Nazi occupation of Poland, dealt with the communist occupation of Poland and being a bishop under communist rule, did hard labor time. I mean, this guy walked the talk. And if he can hold on to Christ in a way that says to us, never give up hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged, be not afraid. He wasn't sailing through easy waters ever in his life, and yet he can call us on. In fact, he says, "I plead with you." Those are words to be heartened by, because we can look at his life, and even those really difficult times, God had a plan for. And the plan was able to kick into effect because St. John Paul II opened his heart to God every moment of every day and said, you know, use me in the ways you want to use me. Direct my life in the way you want to direct my life. But he also did not ever just sit around and say, okay, God, do what you want, and not do anything to cooperate. He was such a profound writer, such a profound maker of saints, such a profound doer of corporal and spiritual works of mercy, such a profound man of prayer. And we can look to him today, with no matter what we're going through, big or small, and say, there is a way to do this besides just sitting in whatever I'm suffering through, whatever I'm struggling with, whatever I feel like today. There's a way to do this even a little bit better, because we know that it's hard. It's really hard when you're struggling in any way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's a difficult task. So we're not sitting here with, you know, cheerleader pom-pom shaking. We're saying, let us help you carry this burden. Let us help you take that next step and renew your hope. Lift that doubt. help you to have the energy that you need and to give you the encouragement you need to be able to take those next very practical steps here today on More to Life. You can give us a call with whatever you or someone you love is going through at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
So once again, are you feeling stuck dealing with a particular problem in your life or relationships? Are you kind of in that space where you feel like nothing's ever going to change, or you're just tired of bumping your head up against that same problem in your life or relationships over and over again? Or for that matter, maybe you have someone you care about who needs to make a change and you're not sure how to support them. We are taking our cue from St. John Paul's feast day today and reminding you to be not afraid. And as he said, to never give up on hope, to never doubt, to never tire, or never become discouraged. Because with God's grace, all things are possible. Let's work together to help you identify the next steps to making those changes in your life or relationships at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And every day here, we take a look at St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body, such a gift to the church and to humankind. And it reminds us that life is actually about growth. The Christian's goal is more than just getting through the day. In everything we do, we're called to be receptive to what God is calling us to in our lives and our relationships. Inevitably, that means looking for small changes that we can make every day to become the people that God is calling us to be.
And each day we need to ask ourselves, how can I respond to the events of this day, even if it's a bad day, right? How do I respond to this day in a way that's intentional and allows me to bring my life and relationships more in line with God's plan for me? It's not about what do I think I can accomplish. It's not about what I feel like I can do. It's not about what I can envision myself doing on my own power. It's what do I believe God wants to do through me and with me and in me in the face of the challenges in front of me? How does God want me to be different today? How can I do a better job bringing His love into my life? How can I challenge myself and the people around me to become healthier, more grace-filled people? By keeping that big picture in mind, the picture of our heavenly destiny, we're able to live a more authentic life, both now and with God's grace in the next world as well. The whole point is not, the theology of the body reminds us, it's not to look at what we can see through our own eyes, but rather to see the world through God's eyes and to strive toward that. Because the reality is, what God sees when He looks at us in the world is more real than the quote-unquote reality we see when we look through our own broken, sinful eyes.
Oh, it's 100 billion% more real. What we look at is our limitations, our sinfulness, our inability to even imagine things being good and beautiful and holy and working right. What God sees is who He created us to be and the hiccup that the fall brought in our plan for salvation and His plan for salvation for us. But He knows that through Christ's redemptive work, we are His again. We are His children. We are loved, and He has a plan for us. So stepping into that plan, and it takes doing it day in, day out, moment by moment. With each new challenge, with each new moment, we can draw closer to God's plan for us and get unstuck from all the stuff that this world, and yeah, Satan wants us to believe, is our lot in life. So let us help you today. If that sounds undoable, if this sounds too heavy to lift, we understand that. But we can start to help you do that with help from others, prayers from others. That's what it's all about here on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
St. John Paul's famous quote, and we're going to be repeating this throughout the program.
Because we all need it right now.
I plead with you, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid. We're celebrating St. John Paul the Great's feast day by reminding you that with God's grace, all the changes that you need to make in your life and relationships are absolutely possible. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we praise you and thank you for the grace that makes all things possible through you. Lord, there are so many things that we see in our life and in our relationships that make us feel stuck, that make us feel like we can't move forward, like change isn't possible, like everything's just going to be the way it always is. Help us to remember the words of your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, who reminded us to never tire, to never doubt, to never give up on hope and never become discouraged, and to be not afraid. Help us to see our life and relationships through your eyes, and to strive to fulfill that vision by cooperating with your grace and drawing closer to you, so that as we draw closer to you, the plan for our life and relationships can be actualized through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Again, the title of our show today, Stick to It. We're talking about achieving those goals in your life and relationships that seem challenging. You know, when you look at those situations, you say, I'm just not sure I can do it. I'm not sure anything's going to change. I'm not sure what the point is. I mean, I would love for it to change, but I just don't see it. Well, let's work together to find the next steps for how you can begin to cooperate with grace to make those changes a reality so that God can be glorified in those circumstances and he can show you his power, his love, his providence, and his mercy. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Kim. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I just have a situation that I feel kind of stuck in between working full-time and having my kids at home, homeschooling them. And I've been homeschooling them for about almost six years so far.
Wow.
But I've had more kids since I started. And for the last few years that I've been homeschooling, my job has been kind of flexible, my hours. Mm-hmm. But I just got a new management, and so now it's a lot more strict, so I'm not really allowed that flexibility like I was before. And I don't really feel like I can, like, quit or anything, because my husband, he's a teacher, so he doesn't make enough for us to, you know, to be able to be okay. And we have five kids. And
what are their ages, Kim? What are we dealing with in terms of ages and independence here?
They're 12, 10, 7, 4, and I have a six-month-old.
Okay.
And the six-month-old, she has some eating problems when she was born, and so she has a G-tube.
Oh, wow.
And so we're doing, like, feeding therapy and all, and she, mm-hmm. you know, has to feed off of a pump and all that right now, too.
Okay, so there are a lot of different things.
I do have help. Well, I do have help. I mean, I have some sitters that come in to help while I work, and we used to have a co-op on Fridays, but because of my new schedule and stuff, we can't do that.
Okay, so it sounds like the question you're asking is, how do you figure out what to do next? Is that...
Yeah, because I just, like I said, the insurance is under me because it's just been cheaper that way.
Well, you got a lot of practical issues there that are holding you, but, you know, they're kind of keeping you in place.
I mean, it sounds like your gut instinct is to just say, I want to quit because you've got so much on your plate. But then you hit this wall of, we really need me not to.
So can I ask, how are you and your husband praying about this?
We have prayed together, but it's not a consistent, we're not consistently praying together about it. And then it's just kind of praying, I guess, like separately about it and just kind of, I don't know, I guess taking one day at a time and just continuing through it. But
would he be open to praying with you about it?
Yeah, he would.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a great opportunity. I mean, it's not going to feel like a great opportunity. It feels, right? It feels like a real hardship here. But you know, I find that God often brings us to these places so that he... So that he can give us an invitation to draw closer to him and to our spouse. This is a question you're not going to be able to answer on your own or on your own power, right? This is a question you're going to have to bring to him. And let me talk to you about how to bring this to him, okay? Because it's not just about saying words at God. It's about listening to him as well. So we actually talk about the process for this in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse. We have a chapter on couple discernment. How do you pray with your spouse to really figure out what God's will is? So just to basically walk you through the steps, though, you do need to pray about it every day. And you pray from your heart, all right? You start by saying, you know, Lord, on the one hand, you know, you've really provided well for us through this job for a long time, with the benefits and the money and the flexibility, and that, but that's changed. And our circumstances have changed. And so on the one hand, my heart feels the need to stay here. On the other hand, my heart feels the need to make some changes. But I don't know how to do that. But you do. And so help us to be open to your will and to know what that is. Help us to be open to all the possibilities that you can see, even if we can't see them. And you pray about it and you talk it out loud. All right, and then you let that prayer be the springboard for a conversation between you and your husband on an ongoing basis. Okay, what are you thinking today? How are you feeling in your heart about this? What's going on? You know, what do you think God is saying through your experience? And you might not know at first, but that's okay. And you pray about it the next day. And then maybe you gather some information. It occurs to you, maybe, you know what, hey, we hadn't thought about looking for a job in this area, or even just polishing the resume, or... hey, there's this hobby that we've been interested in that we would like to pursue more, you know, whatever. The point being that God has ideas that you don't and that you can't see. And we can't figure them out unless we're going to him every day and saying, Lord, here are the concerns of my heart. Here are the needs that we have. I don't know how to fit them all together, but I believe that you do. Lead me step by step. Guide me step by step. Help us figure out how to create the family life that you want us to have. And you're praying about that every day in that way. And if you want to, you know, add a rosary that would help you focus your reflection, or a Divine Mercy chaplet that would help you kind of meditate on this prayer more, that's great too, right? The formal prayers fit into that in that same way. But the point is, you're bringing this heart, your heart and this conversation to God in front of each other out loud. And what happens while you're praying, the Holy Spirit is speaking back to you. And maybe your husband hears certain things that you say that trigger certain things in his heart because the Holy Spirit kind of prompts him in that way. Or while your husband is praying, the Holy Spirit prompts certain things in your heart to pay attention to that you weren't aware of. And day by day, God reveals a little bit more of that plan, sort of like the sunrise coming up in the morning. But that's how you have to pray about it. And you have to pray consistently. You have to pray with that expectant hope that he has an answer for you. You just have to come to him. The point of this crisis isn't just do I work at this place or work someplace else or just come home fully. It's God saying, I want the two of you to draw closer to me so that I can reveal my plan for your life. That's what's going on right here. Now, you can run with the suggestions that we've mentioned on the program here, but if you're struggling to maybe remember it or explain it to your husband, really check out the book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It's all about creating a kind of dynamic marital spirituality that invites God into your relationship in brand new ways and allows you to really discern what he wants you to do next. Check it out, Praying For and With Your Spouse. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. Kim, I know that God has a wonderful plan for your marriage and family life, one that you can't even begin to imagine what it is, but once it's revealed to you, you're going to be blown away. I just need you to hold that in your heart and be confident in that. And as St. John Paul said, be not afraid as you move forward with this. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about getting unstuck and achieving those goals and not being afraid to pursue God's will for your life and relationships, even in the face of real challenges. Let's talk it out, 877-573-7825. In addition to your calls, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Damon Owens from joyfuleverafter.org. He's going to be sharing some insights from the theology of the body that allow us to persevere in the face of challenges. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This program is brought to you in part by the support of MVP Realty Associates, helping people find homes in the town of Ave Maria, Florida. The town of Ave Maria has a water park, golf courses, restaurants, medical and retail stores, and is located 20 minutes from Naples. New construction and resale homes are available. More information about the town of Ave Maria and the vision of Domino's Pizza founder Tom Monahan is available from Greg Musumano at 239-825-6958.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and joining us right now, Damon Owens from joyfuleverafter.org is here to talk to us about how the theology of the body can help us deal with those times when we feel stuck and persevere through the power of grace. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Dr. Greg, Lisa, happy Thursday, happy feast day.
John Paul II. What a day to talk about this topic, because as I said, you know, he went through everything and a million times more, and yet he calls us on to, you know, such hope and such greatness. Talk to us about how we take his joyful message, even all these years later, and apply it to really difficult times in our own personal lives. A lot of us are like, well, I'm not supposed to be him. Help us out with this.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, we considering ourselves part of that JP2 generation, you know, we really do. We formed a faith in a special time that we've got such a zeal to share with people who don't know, and it's hard for us to even comprehend, you know, his death in 2005. Literally every high schooler and young college person has no memory of what we have with John Paul II, and it's more than just nostalgia. This isn't just a romanticism. He offered something that was so crucial for the time we needed in the 80s, the 90s, this, you know, 2000s, to look at everything the world offered about who we are as a human person. And the world is constantly trying to define who we are individually, what it means to be a human person globally, cosmologically. And he constantly was able to speak, not just doctrinally, but with such a fatherly concern. You knew that when he spoke, he was talking to you. He understood real human experience, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the ugly. And yet he was able to speak so clearly doctrinally, but philosophically, that connected the real aspirations of our heart. He said things like he did in Familiaris Consortio, become families, what you are, become what you are. I mean, that doesn't even make English sense, right? Become what you are, unless you press into it and you realize there's a dignity, literally a value, dignitatis, to who we are right now. And yet there's a becoming that God already has. He already has in his heart, in his being, in his knowing, that we can become with him. It's not a bootstrap. It's not a, you know, like in the 80s, it was all about, you know, it's going to be, it's up to me. I can make myself a million. I could do all these things. No. God created us, so there's a baseline dignity. But at the same time, he's calling us to become what he, and together with he, we can become. So it's this both and. It gives honor to the present moment, but also without despair aspires to something that's impossible under our own power.
I want to see what you think about this, that you know, one of the points we were trying to make earlier is that, you know, we often get discouraged because we feel like, well, we can't make X happen under power, or it's silly to dream about Y. But assuming we've taken those things to prayer and they stay on our hearts, what that means is that those things already exist in God. And the closer we draw to Him and the more we bring our hearts to Him, the more that reality that exists in God becomes our reality.
Oh, that just moves my heart. This is one of my challenges, personal challenges with, you know, with gifts and skills and this sense that if I just do more, I can have more. And it's always this distraction away from that. But the prayer you're talking about is not some activity that helps us to superpower. It's not, you know, Wonder Twins activate. You know, I know that was a generational thing.
Yeah, but it's easy to understand.
But when we pray, we're literally entering into communion with the creator of the universe, who knows us, who sees us, who's delighted in us, and reveals to us in that communion the truth about who he is, who we are, and who we are to him. That's where the joy comes in. It's not this exercise of self-actualization. It's the exact opposite. It's this actualizing through in actu, the person acting and connecting with personhood himself.
Not through self-actualization, but through divine revelation.
That's right.
Damon, thank you so much for being with us.
So
and if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to joyfuleverafter.org to learn about God's plan for their marriage and how to make that plan happen. joyfuleverafter.org. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about getting unstuck and living the life God wants you to live by cooperating with His grace on this feast of St. John Paul the Great. Stick around.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Ephesians 5:21 challenges husbands and wives to defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. In this scripture passage, St. Paul reminds us that while husbands and wives both have roles to play, Christ is the head of the house. You see, couples who recognize Christ as the head of their house are already cultivating mutual respect. Respect isn't just general politeness, it's much, much more. It's about making your default attitude toward your spouse one of fondness and admiration. Happy couples know that they each need to learn from the other's positive influence, call their spouse to holiness, and see the inevitable flaws in the other spouse's opportunities to grow in virtue. Cultivate fondness and admiration for your spouse instead of focusing on his or her flaws,
and you will grow into a marriage that is truly exceptional. For more Catholic marriage guidance, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stick to It, as we talk about the need to persevere in the face of our difficulties. On this feast of St. John Paul the Great, we're reminded of his terrific quote. He said it all the time. I plead with you, never ever give up on hope. Never doubt, never tire, never become discouraged. Be not afraid. The reality is, St. John Paul's ministry especially, but the Christian message in general, is all about remembering that all things are possible through God's grace. And so if you're feeling stuck today in some area of your life or relationships, if you're tired of bumping your head up against that same problem over and over again, and you were looking for a sign that things are going to change, that God wants to change those things, well, here's your sign. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's identify the next steps toward making that change in your life and relationships today. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Diane, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hey, Diane. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, good morning. First of all, my biggest concern is myself. I have an issue with saying no to things. Mm-hmm. So what happens is I become overbooked, and then I don't stick with a plan to get something done. I'll relating to myself, say weight loss. We'll use that as an example. Mm-hmm. Because I'll try for a while, and then it's like, well, I've got this to do, this to do. I'm also a middle child, and I'm a nurse. So I don't know how to put myself first at times.
So when you think about the idea of putting yourself first, as you're saying, what gets in the way? I mean, I know practically speaking, you just described that. But I mean, mentally, when you think about saying, you know, I really need to put these goals that God's placed in my heart first, what stops you from feeling like that's okay to do?
I can do it just for a little bit, and then something pops up, and I think, oh, I should do that to help them out. Or I'll pick up that extra shift, or I need to go do this for my son or my daughter. Which
and if you didn't, what would that say about you as a person? Not intellectually, I mean emotionally, or in your gut. When you if you said no to those people, if you said no to those people or those opportunities, what would that say about you as a person? In your gut, not in your head.
In my gut, I feel like I have the time, but I really don't. I would feel bad because I could do this for somebody. I can put this other thing to the side and do this for them.
And if you don't, what is your concern?
Does that
if
make you a selfish
don't,
person?
Yeah, is it,
does
you,
it make
you're not
you
not measuring
bad
up
Christian?
Somehow? What is the message?
Yes, I think I have to have this thing in my head that I am just this giving person, and I want to do everything. Want to just do everything for everybody else, but not for myself. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a beautiful idea in theory, but the good news is we can be generous to others, and still take care of ourselves. And in fact, God wants us to do that, because He has created you with a specific purpose and mission in mind, right? And no one else is going to serve that mission but you. That doesn't mean you can't still be generous to other people, but it means that we need to find a way to do both so that we can use our gifts to be a blessing to others while still serving the mission that we were created for. It's a bit like if we don't do that, what is it like? It's very much like, a person who takes care of everybody else's kids but their own. Right, or at work, you said you're a nurse. If you were doing everybody else's job in the hospital except your job, that wouldn't be a good thing. And if you said to your nurse manager, I just want to be helpful to everybody else. They should be like, but Diane, the patients that you are supposed to take care of are being neglected because you're mopping the floor for the janitor. That's not being helpful, right? And I need you to kind of keep that image in your mind. That because there is a point where being generous to others actually becomes unhealthy and unhelpful and not what God wants if we don't do it appropriately. I can almost hear, you know, it's like the Screw Tape Letters, you know, where
people who don't know that it's a book by C.S. Lewis that very tongue in cheek in a way shows great wisdom in a superior demon and an apprentice demon who are uncle and nephew talking about how to draw a Christian away from Christ.
Yeah, and so they have kind of advice like, you know, if Diane has to be generous to other people, at least tempt her to be generous in ways that are completely destructive to her and everybody else around her.
And the interesting thing, Diane, is that when we do this, now, definitely, you know, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy matter. You know, what you do matters. However, it often loses its effectiveness to draw people to Christ or even to bless them, because then they get the opinion after a while of, oh, well, she's very nice and helpful, but man, is she like neglectful of herself. And I wouldn't really want to be a Christian if I had to completely neglect myself. Or, yeah, she's just really avoiding the things she needs to take care of in her own life. So I'm not, you know, she's not so much being nice to me, but she's using me as an excuse to not get that other stuff done. It actually dilutes and corrupts what we're trying to do if we consistently just say, no, I'm not going to do the things I know God's calling me to do because I'm doing these other things that will really please others.
So what do you do about it? All right, I've got a concrete suggestion for it and maybe a resource for you as well. So the concrete suggestion is this. Every day, right? Well, first of all, I want you to, when you get off the call, take some time today to write down what those goals are that you feel that God has placed on your heart, but that you've been having a difficult time being consistent with. I want you to write that down as if it was your mission. And then I want you to pray about it every day. And I want you to say, Lord, I know that you have given me these things to do. Help me to be faithful to them. When I start feeling guilty that other people, you know, need my help, or that help me to be as generous as I can while still serving this mission that you have placed on my heart. Right, so number one, you're writing down the things that God has placed on your heart to do that you find difficult to follow through on. Number two, you're praying about those things every day and asking for the grace to still be generous to others while being faithful to this mission. Thirdly, I need you to watch your self-talk. All right, the self-talk that says, I'm going to be a bad person, a bad Christian, a selfish person by taking care of myself or saying no to these other people. I want you, instead of trying to say no to people, I'd like you to give a qualified yes. What that means is when people ask you to do things, I want you to look at your mission and say, first of all, well, you know, I need to do these things, right? So I could help you in this way or in this way, but not necessarily in that way, right? Because I have to be faithful to these things first. So, you know, while I'm being faithful to these things, let me offer a different way I could be helpful, right? So that's a qualified yes. You're not necessarily saying yes exactly to what they asked you to do, but you're offering to be generous in a manner that allows you to be faithful to the mission that you described. Now, those are sort of those three steps that I want you to take, and I think you could run with those, but if you find that you are struggling to do that, say, a month from now, you know, you just keep falling down with this, that indicates maybe a slightly deeper problem, which may have to do with what we'll call an anxious attachment style. And an anxious attachment style makes you believe that you are responsible for everybody else, and that you don't have a right to kind of exist as your own person because you're so consumed with getting other people to like you, essentially, by, you know, never letting anybody down, that you can't ever take care of yourself. And if that's the case, then you're going to need some professional help to get over that hurdle. But I'd like you to start with the suggestions we've made on the program today, see how far you can get with that. And if you feel like you're stuck in a couple of weeks, give us a call either here or through CatholicCounselors.com to set up some times that we can work with you and coach you the rest of the way. But Diane, there is definitely hope for your situation. And I know with all my heart that God wants to address this wound and help you be the woman he created you to be, even while you continue to be as generous and loving to others as you can reasonably be. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls today about making those changes that just seem like they're never going to happen. You know, that thing in your life or relationships you just keep bumping your head up against and saying, man, when is this going to change? You know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I make this happen? Well, the good news is you can. And on this feast of St. John Paul the Great, we're reminded to be not afraid and to never become discouraged. And as he said, this quote that we've been reading throughout the program, I plead with you, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, and never become discouraged. Be not afraid. We can't be afraid to believe that God wants to make the changes happen in our life and relationships that need to happen, and that all we need to do is let him in. So let's talk about how to do that. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, that he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. One more time. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now, I know that there are some folks out there who are struggling today and thinking, I don't even know if God began a good work in me. I don't know where he is in my life. There are just all sorts of negative voices going through your head when you hear this scripture. But without even knowing you, I can assure you of this. He began a good work in you because he created you. He began a good work in you, if you're a baptized Christian, because he anointed you in baptism and gave you a threefold mission of priest, prophet, and king. He began a good work in you when he redeemed you at the on the cross. He began a good work in you. And Philippians reminds you, he will bring it to completion. We just have to say yes. Just as Our Lady said yes when God said, I want to do a good work in you. I want to bring my son into the world through you. And she gave that fiat, that yes. We have to, as hard as it is, we have to be honest with him and then say that yes. And he's not afraid of our honesty. He's not afraid of us coming to him and saying, Lord, I'm scared. This is hard. I don't know which way to go. I don't feel like I have the strength or resources, but I want to say yes to your plan and allow you to complete this good work in me. When we can honestly come to him with our hearts and minds like that, boy, can he do amazing things in our lives.
So let's do that together. Let's take that first step and identify those next steps that will allow God's grace to take hold in your life and make those changes possible. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are celebrating the feast of St. John Paul the Great today with our show titled Stick to It. St. John Paul was famous for saying, I plead with you, never ever give up on hope, never doubt, never tire, never become discouraged. Be not afraid. He said that because he knew that the desires that God's placed on our heart will be fulfilled through his grace if we can keep bringing them back to prayer and asking him to guide us and lead us in all things. The world tells us it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. So we're asking you to call us today at 877-573-7825 so we can start identifying the next steps with you to making those changes in your life and relationships that your heart longs for, but that you've been doubtful about your own ability to affect in your life. God wants to make those changes a reality today. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas on Divine Mercy Radio.
Hi there, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thank you so much. I love you guys. We really love John Paul too. And my oldest son and I are having some troubles because I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, but it's a mild case.
Okay.
But he thinks I need to either have counseling or drugs or something before he wants to see me.
How are you diagnosed, Anne? Who diagnosed you?
Oh, it was a professional counselor.
Okay. So it was a professional diagnosis then, okay.
Uh-huh,
and you're
yes.
saying that your son wants you to get treatment for this, yeah?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're
and
saying...
I have gone to counseling,
mm-hmm.
but he just doesn't think I'm doing enough. So.
When you say you have gone to counseling, does that mean that you stopped going to counseling or it's intermittent? What happened there?
Yeah, I stopped going because it was upsetting me too much to go rehash all the things that caused that. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm better off at peace, just praying a lot and just...
Well,
I
but
no
see, that's... The, okay, let me... I want to challenge on that. I understand. I completely understand what you're talking about. Counseling is hard work. It is hard work, and sometimes it does stretch things up, and that is painful. But when you say, I'm better off just by kind of avoiding it and praying about it, you're using prayer as... what's the word I'm looking for?
A crutch?
A crutch, but even more than that, you're self-medicating with prayer. You're not,
oh,
right? You're,
yeah,
using, you're using prayer as an opioid, not as the energy that you need to make the changes and bring about the healing that God wants to make in your life.
Now, prayer is essential, absolutely essential, but if you told us that a professional, as you were diagnosed by a professional, diagnosed you with a very difficult disease, even, say, cancer, God forbid, and you said, oh, you know, I hate going on my chemo. It makes me so sick. This is just messing up my life. I can't get anything done because there's so much required of me, and it's just so hard. I'm just feel so much more peaceful if I just stay home and pray. Well, you might feel more peaceful, but you're ignoring the gifts that God has given you to tap into a professional community that could actually heal you. And this is very much the same, but because it's not a disease that's necessarily giving you a physical atrophy of something where they can see it, you know, on a scan, you're more able to say, no, 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 I'll deny it. I won't really fix it except through God. But God wants us to turn to him with all our hearts and all our minds and all our strength. But then he gives us these gifts that can help us, of professionals who know what to do, sons who call us on to say, Mom, you really need to take advantage of these professionals. Real help that can help us achieve who we're called to be and help us find healing.
Yeah, the thing is, and you know, and for people who don't know, borderline personality disorder is even a mild form of it, is a disorder that where we're constantly afraid of being abandoned, so we're very, it makes us behave very erratically. One minute we can be like, you know, I love you, I'll do anything for you. The next minute something, you know, the other person does something even benign that sits wrong with me, and I feel like they're either going to hurt me or abandon me or threaten me in some way, and then I lash out and I become completely unpredictable and unreliable. It's very difficult to be in a relationship with me because I'm always right on the edge. You know, where, and 1 minute I'll be very nice, and the next minute I'll be really reactive, and you have no idea how to predict what I'm going to do next. And that's very, very painful to be in a relationship with somebody who's struggling with that. And it's very painful to be the person, you know, in your position, Anne. But, you know, the reason your son is asking you to get help is because he loves you. And he wants to be in relationship with you, and he's saying that the way you are is too hurtful, it's too painful. And so he's setting a boundary that says, Anne, I want you to get the help. Mom, I want you to get the help that you need. So I understand that counseling is difficult, and you can always talk with your counselor about kind of backing off a little bit. You know, if I'm working with a client who's got these issues and we're talking about abuse and those sorts of things, that is exhausting and it is painful. And every once in a while, it's okay for that client to say to me, you know what, I just need to kind of back off a little bit and talk about something else today. There are still other issues that I can work on. I can't deal with the big stuff today. I just need to just focus on this particular problem that's going on in my life and not the deeper stuff. And that's fine. You can do that. Pace yourself. Work with the therapist to do that. But please get back in touch with the counselor you were working with and be faithful in that work so that you can become the woman that God wants you to be, and not just use prayer as a way of kind of anesthetizing yourself, but relying on prayer to give you the grace and power that you need to make the changes that God wants to make in your life and actualize the healing that God wants to bring to your heart.
And just one more thing to add to this, Anne, with what you're struggling with your diagnosis, I can definitely see that even if you weren't struggling, it's hard for a parent to have a child set a limit with them and say, I can't see you until such and such happens, or I really need you to do X, Y, and Z. And we often interpret that as they're rejecting us, they don't like something about us, on and on. But I really want you to remind yourself, write it down if you have to, that what your son is asking you to do isn't to reject you or to cast you off. It's to work for your good. And he's saying, you know, Mom, for us to have a healthy relationship, for you to be the mom I need you to be, for me to be the son I need you to be, we need this intervention for you in your life. We need you to be working with a counselor, going on medication if you need to, doing whatever you need to do to heal this so we can be everything that we can be as mother and son. So he's working for your good, and he's working for the good of the relationship as well as his own mental health. So please see it as a call of love and not a call of rejection.
Thanks for the call, Anne, and I hope that you'll be able to take these words to heart. We've only got a couple of minutes, but let's go to Tina, who's listening in Kansas on Catholic Radio Network. Hey, Tina, welcome to More to Life. Tina, are you there? Line two?
Yeah, hello.
Hi,
hello.
Tina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Go for it. Yeah, okay, we got a couple of minutes, but I wanted to try to get your question in. So what can we do for you?
Yes. I'm calling for my 18-year-old son. During this time of COVID, it's making it more and more difficult to maintain some motivation for him. Mm-hmm. He has always struggled in this area since high school. He's a senior this year, but even in freshman year, he struggled. I worry there's some elements of depression that might be in this factor.
How does this lack of motivation affect him? What is he doing or not doing, I guess? Is it?
Well, he is very smart, and he's just, when it comes to the schoolwork, he's putting in, you know, basically whatever he can get by to not, you know, have to do any more than.
And what role
necessary.
Are you playing in that? Like, what? How are you supporting him doing better? Like, what are you trying to do there?
Well, we've had several discussions about the future, and that's the end goal here, too, in terms of he doesn't really know what he wants to do after school.
Well, let me jump in because, like I said, I've only got about 30 seconds before the music starts to play. So you need to create a structure here, okay, where you know, it's not, you can't kind of like lecture him into doing better with this. You're going to have to create a structure where he's saying, I'm going to coast if I can coast. So you can't let him coast. You have to say, okay, look, every day I'm going to review your homework, and if it's not up to my standard, you're going to do it over again. And I'm not going to let you go to that thing or go watch TV or go on, you know, use your phone until this homework is done to my satisfaction. You might say, well, he's 18 years old. Why should I have to do that? Well, because we need to provide the support to our kids that they need us to provide. It's not a matter of he should be able to do it. He can't do it. He's not doing it. So being able to create that structure allows him to see that he can't escape it just by coasting by. As long as he can coast and he just has to put up with a lecture, he'll do that. But if
the
he creates a structure that requires it of him, then that's going to make that happen.
That will help lift him out of it. The other thing is, if he ends up with extra time, start talking about new things he can do that he could get passionate about. And I mean building, art, anything that would spark a new interest instead of just getting through the day, sitting and doing nothing. We've got to break that cycle and let him discover some passion as well.
That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for calling in. And folks, if there's more we can do to support you in making those changes you want to make in your life, look us up at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live through God's grace.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.